Welcome to the Sex and Horror Podcast with Arthas Dicey Grinner and Chantel
Renee.
Chantel Renee, yay! Okay. Sometimes I forget to do that part. Are my eyes even open?
So yes. we're in two different time zones, people.
Yeah, and that's a hotel bed behind me, but it is not getting any use. I mean, I slept in it a little bit when I first got in, but I have made it to Venice, Italy.
So, lots of fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. This is the first time I've done anything like this, but the jet lag is real because your girl, I watched Babylon, Bandit, Black Adam, and Creed 3. Plane ride.
Oh, that's wow. What I was doing instead of sleep.
So I stayed up. I didn't go to sleep until I got here in the room. So what would have been like 6:30 a.m. your time is when I hit my room. So it was like I was up that whole time, and I was, you know, like legal hearings and everything before I left. So I didn't really rest or anything before I left either. So. But I didn't want to sleep too much today because I want to make sure I can go to bed tonight so that I can get up in the morning ready to rock and roll.
Yes, Dicey hasn't taken one photo, guys. Not one.
I have not photographed any. Well, you know what? After you said that, and because my daughter's been pressuring me for pictures too. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't taken the airport, nothing. Not since I got here, absolutely nothing. But she told me to take a picture. I did take a picture of my lasagna that I had after she sent a message.
That's there you go.
But that is absolutely it. And that was the hotel food because I have not had a chance to do much else yet. But this is also why I allow myself 2 weeks here so that I can, you know, like pace myself and not try to rush and get everything in a day or so. So there's still
it's
time.
So fun.
Yeah.
There's I'm excited.
Thank you. Thank you. I want so bad to know where they filmed Haunting in Venice. Like that's where I want to go. I want to go.
Places oh like. Yeah. That's true. Huh?
So I plan to talk to the hotel staff and get a hold on not the most touristic things, but things that are of interest to me. Because sure, the gondola and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, like,
there has to be a tour that'll take you to places where they film stuff, you know?
And I've not seen, well, I haven't actively searched for it yet, but it doesn't pop up on things to do in Venice. You know, it's not, it's never anything that pops up on the list that I look at. But I'll go deep diving. I'll find it. How have you been?
Well, I've been healing. I can't really get this closer to my mouth. I've been healing, so that's good.
Feeling I'm finally better?
Yeah, I definitely am feeling a lot better. Like it was definitely crazy. And then I go back tomorrow morning to get the permanent bridge in.
Oh. Okay.
So that's gonna be done, totally finished. So
okay, good. I hope all goes well.
Thank you.
Okay, so I guess we can just jump right into it tonight. We're talking about, I went to see Saw 10 before I left, and you last night went to see The Exorcist. Who won the, because I had the tickets. I had two tickets, and then I ended up being like, I'm going to be in Venice during that time. So you did a contest to give those tickets to someone?
Who yes. Won? Ish won, and then he didn't have a plus one, so then I had another girl who had entered under him, and so he offered it to her to come, you know, with, and then she made it and he got rained in. We had a crazy rainstorm, so he couldn't even make it.
Ah, okay. But somebody did have a chance to enjoy it.
Yes. Good. And it was so it was actually good. The Exorcist, The Believer, I think it's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
Talk about it.
Okay. So, do you want to go first, or do you want me to talk about Saw? Did you ever see Saw 10 yet?
No. Okay. You can go first if you want.
Okay.
The longer you wait, the more sleepy you might get.
You know what? I'm like, my eyes are closing by the minute. Okay.
Exactly.
So, Saw 10, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. But let me be, you know, put it out there that I enjoy this franchise. Like, I watch all of them, including Spiral. And I know that was kind of off the beaten path. But I enjoy the Saw movies. I love the game aspect of it. I also love the concept. The concept of, you know, live or die, the choice is yours. It's like, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to live? Like, what are you willing to do? I also kind of like the revenge aspect of it. So with this one, we have our main character who is, he's the villain, right? He is the one who is putting this game out there. You're not technically killing anybody, but making the game so that they're going to come out in a lot of pain and blood, you know, whatever it is that they do to survive, it's going to cost them. But if they don't, the other option is death. So they have that choice, but it's coercion, you know? So he is not a saint in this. He is putting people in a situation of grave, grave harm and danger and fatality. In this movie, however, they do a really good job. It's the same way I remember when I was watching Shameless, because my book is shameful. Shameless. That's the show.
The show, yeah.
Frank Gallagher is a horrible fella. He is horrible. And how do you make him look good? You make someone else worse. Yeah. And I saw that time and time again. So that's what they did with this character in this movie. There is someone worse than him. She is absolutely hideous. She is awful. And so we get to empathize a lot with this villain. And he ends up being more like an anti-hero, which I enjoy. I really enjoy that aspect of it. I really like when we have the tricycle doll character coming out. Oh, that thing creeps me out, and I love it. I remember the first time when I was at Comic Palooza, and I heard the tricycle coming around the corner. I was like, oh shit, Jigsaw's in here. And I got up and ran around. I do that a lot when I'm hearing things. I remember when I heard the dude with the very, very deep voice, Kevin Gravel. But anyway, the one from the werewolf. He's the werewolf. And anyway, I digress.
Yes.
So I went and I got pictures with that little tricycle. You could hear the tricycle coming. So I would say that there's less of that because we have a face to go with the Jigsaw character now. So it's not so much the anonymous, ominous toy. Although that toy is present, we have more of John's face. John is the face of Jigsaw now. And I like that. But I really do like the tricycle doll too. So
yeah. But and he is in it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both in it. But this is heavily all about John. I felt at first they kind of dragged through before they got to the blood and guts part. But I think it was also good character development because we are spending time getting to know John. And Shawnee, the one that plays his sidekick, his assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So she was at Houston Horror Film Festival this year, right? Or was that Friday?
I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I think it was because I know Jay talked to her, right? Yeah, okay, so she was at Houston Horror Film Festival this year. But so it's interesting to see her evolution. She's changed a lot physically in the face. John still looks pretty much the same, I believe. I hope I'm saying his name right. It is John, right?
Well, I don't know.
This time I have just not had a chance to make notes. I'm going off of memory. But baby, when the blood and guts came, woo! That was, you know, when I get really excited about something, now I'm like, oh! So I'm sitting in there like that, but I was like, oh yes, this is what I've been missing because the last few horror films I've watched, there's not a whole lot of blood and guts. You know what I mean? Like, even, and I've enjoyed them, but I'm just saying, I like Saw for the creative kills. They are going to bring it every time. It's going to be something that's going to be memorable. And this, did I lose you?
No, I'm back. Go ahead.
Okay. And this brought it. So once we went there, once it started, it was like, ooh, it was nonstop. Like, ooh, good. This is gross. This is like, ooh, what's happening? But they brought it. And I can appreciate that. It's, you know, one of the reasons that I really enjoy Terrifier too. But I appreciate the commitment to the gore. You know what I'm saying?
So do you think it was like rivaling Terrifier gore?
I don't think there's anything out that's rivaling Terrifier gore.
I mean,
yeah,
we did have an awful lot of blood in the last Evil Dead movie.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Damien really brought it with Terrifier. I mean, because Art is just that dude. And they went into it with the mind of going above and beyond an extreme. You know what I mean? I don't know that Saw is like, we are going to do something so heinous that, you know, yada, yada. But I do feel like they kept it true to the character. They kept it true to the game. You do have an opportunity. You're going to do something gruesome to save your life. But there were a lot of people that had time in this one. So, In other words, we got to see them go through the process and then still die. So we got like you get the torturous part and you get the death part. So, there was a lot of that.
Well, that's good.
I did enjoy it. Yeah, yeah. And I'm hearing a lot of, once I go see a movie, I see it in my feed like crazy after that because my phone is tracking me. But I've seen so far a lot of people talking about that they enjoyed it. If you enjoy the Saw movies, I think you will enjoy this one. But that's why I put it out there that I enjoy this franchise. Because if you don't, then this, you're not gonna like this.
Yeah.
If you watch some of the other Saws and you was like, oh, I don't like this, or you know, this is too much for me or whatever, you're not gonna like it.
I have to give them a second chance. I mean, the first time I watched the first one, I was so bored. I was like, this is boring. Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the concept of, this is going back to the game part, I enjoy the concept of you have a choice to make, you have a decision on how bad you want to live, but also like there is a moral compass here, and he is not in any position to judge people because he's got his own shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that if he was put through the tests, and he is in this movie, then he would also do whatever is required. So you know, what I enjoy about Dexter is his code, right? He is a killer. He is a serial killer. But he also has a code that he goes by. He does... I mean, you know, he has made sure to code in. But I think that adds layers to them and it gives them, it shows the intelligence. This dude is really clever. I really like that. But he also has a code that he lives by and that he puts people to the test by. And so while he's not in a position to inflict judgment on people, I think his code he shows also applies to him. Mm. So he was in it also. If he had to make a choice, how far would you go to live? And then he would also do whatever is necessary to live.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So do you feel like it followed the storyline really well all the way through up to this movie?
Yes. Yes. I like that because there's also some twists. Like how clever is he? Is he able to be outsmarted? You know what I mean? Mm, so there's some of that in there too. I really love it when we have people that are clever and they usually stay a step ahead of everybody. I enjoy that. And John is one of those characters. But and it's not just how far would you go to survive, but if, you know, and this is where the revenge element comes in. If you have done something that is really bad to someone else, like you've put someone else in harm's way, then this is your day of reckoning.
Yeah.
And so I enjoy that aspect, but you know, he's gotta pay the price too.
Interesting. Yeah. I think you make it sound a lot more compelling than I would have thought the movie would have been. So what is your rating for it? What do you think?
Yeah, and it might be, Chantel. I hope I'm not overhyping it. Like, so that's why I keep saying it's because I enjoy the Saw movies, you know? And it's giving me what I'm looking for when I sit down to watch the movie. So I gave it an 8.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's giving me what I'm looking for. When I sit down to watch a Saw movie, I know I'm going to have the creative kills. I know I'm going to have some clever designs because he is an engineer and he is designing this stuff. And even that is ingenious. Like it's set on a time.
Wasn't there one where I forgot, it wasn't Jamie Foxx in it, but there was like knives or glass or something hanging and they had to escape out of it or something. Was that his movie?
Was that in Spiral with Samuel Jackson?
Yes, that's who it was. You're right.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people didn't like Spiral, and I will admit that Spiral was a bit different. We had Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson, and I don't ever want to hear those two in a movie again. They shouted and they yelled. I mean, not together, not in the same movie. I never want to watch. If I see Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson in the same, not watching it again, because they screamed and yelled the whole time and it was giving me a headache. I was like, oh my God, this is just too much yelling. I can only take one of them at a time.
That makes sense. I mean,
yeah. But so Spiral, I enjoyed too, but I understand why people was like, this is not a Saw movie. You know, this is just, you know, it's the name is tacked to it, but it's not really Saw. Brings us back into the official world of Saw with Jigsaw. Yeah.
Nice.
And so I hope I'm not overly hyping it up. You know who you are. Like, if you enjoyed 1, 2, and 3, you know, then you'll be like, oh, okay, this is a good evolution for this franchise. So before you kind of wake up and they are already in these dangerous situations and they have to fight to survive. This time it doesn't work that way. We get the story element of what's going on with John. We get an update with him and his condition, and then we get to the revenge and the killing.
Okay.
Interesting. Coercive killing.
Yeah.
Because he swears he ain't killing nobody.
Yeah.
But had it not been for the engineering death trap you put them into, they'd still be alive. So, you know.
Of course. Yeah. That's the point of the movie.
Cause and effect thing. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I will say also that these people had it coming. And I don't blame him one bit, which I think is really good. That's good writing when you side with, or you can understand where the villain or anti-hero is coming from. If we got a whole movie based on him, then there has to be something that makes us root for him.
Yeah.
And they did a good job of giving us that. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I might have to give it a shot.
Yeah. But you didn't like the first.
Well, I'll have to rewatch those. You know, it's Halloween. I might feel generous.
Yeah. Well, if you know what, just watch this one then, because you might like the way they tell the story from his perspective. This is the one we get from his perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might be an interesting way to watch it, right? Backwards.
Yeah. So instead of going back, start with this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see. I'll do that, and then we'll see how I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm really excited to hear about The Exorcist, because what I saw in the trailers is, like, everybody is toning, is, like, up in the ante. Like I said, with The Nun, you have multiple villains, quote-unquote villains, going on at the same time. You have multiple monsters. From what I saw with the trailer, we got two girls now that are possessed. So I was like, oh, okay, I like it. Everything that I'm seeing with the movies now, it's like, we got to do more than what we did before. We can't just bring another exorcist. We can't have another possessed girl. Now we got to have two. So,
and not just two, but multiple religions trying to exorcise them.
Ooh, I like it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it was, you know, I just wrote a book about possession. Uh-huh. And so there are three different stages. Some say four stages of possession. And I've gone over those before in the show. One of the things... Okay, first of all, I just have to say, and I meant to do this before we started. Of course, I forgot. The father and daughter in the show, because there's a single father and a daughter, and then there's a little girl who has, like, a big family. She has a brother and a sister, you know, her parents. And then the father, we see him and his wife in the beginning my brain just stopped. Oh my God, it's not Tahiti. Why am I thinking Tahiti? Haitian?
Okay, Haiti.
Haiti. That's why I'm thinking Tahiti. Okay. So they're in Haiti and they're walking around and the mama's pregnant. And she's, you know, really.
That's voodoo area, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they call it root work.
Root work, okay.
So it's, you know, you can say voodoo, but there's other names to that type of religion that doesn't necessarily always have to do with voodoo.
Okay, fair enough.
I think we talked about this in the past, but some particular religions are family-based. So your family's into it, so you will get into it type of thing. Okay. So root work follows a lot of that. So she's walking around and a young little boy is like, oh, you're so beautiful. Can you come with me? And my mom will give you a wonderful blessing for your baby. And she's like, okay. So she goes with mama with the little boy to the mama. And they do this real cool, like, blessing on her as, you know, she's huge and pregnant. And they do all this water on her and the smoke and candles and all these things. And then she goes to see her husband. He's a photographer and he's taking photos. And he's like, oh, I want to go take pictures of the city and the top of this cathedral at this church. And she's like, well, I'm really exhausted, you know, because she's like, looks like she's about to deliver. She's like, I need to go back to the room and relax. So they show her she's at the top of the building where they're staying. And she lays down. And then all of a sudden you hear this noise, like something shaking real hard. Well, it's an earthquake. This is the main reason I will never live where there can be earthquakes. So she is booking it out of the room, right? Like, she's trying to get down the stairs. And she ends up not making it, but she's still alive, but she has a lot of injuries. So they tell the father, we can save one of them. We can't save them both, either the baby or her. Okay. So then it cuts to 13 years later. The child's 13 now. And it's a girl. And she, you know, doesn't know her mom, never knew her mom, obviously, only has photos. And she's playing with stuff of her mom's one morning before school. And she puts a scarf on of her mom's and goes downstairs and, like, you know, acting like blah, blah, blah. Well, the father realizes, of course, whose scarf it is. So he takes it from her. This is precious. We got to be careful with mom's stuff, blah, blah, blah. And she goes. And then the little girl, I'm so bad at names. I'm so, so bad. You're like, I'm going to choke you. The little white girl. There we go. She comes to the door and she's like, oh, hey. Well, I think the name of the little white girl was Catherine, I think. And then the other girl was Angela. I remember because my sister's name is Angela. And so she's like, hey, Angela, you know, let's walk in this class together. And then they show them in class. And they're kind of whispering and they get in trouble for talking, right? And you realize they're setting up what you would call, like, a round robin. You know, I'm going to tell my parents I'm at your house. They're going to tell your parents we're at your house. You know what I mean? So they don't know where we're at. Well, the kids get on the school bus at the end of the day, and you see the two little girls walk into the woods. And that go into this area. Now, I will say, if you're a huge fan of the original Exorcist, you'll love this. Okay, because Jay, this is like one of her all-time favorite movies. I was a little confused because I wasn't necessarily a huge fan of The Exorcist. I thought it was so cheesy. But if you understand Pazuzu, which was the demon from the franchise, you will understand what happens next. And I had to marinate on it. I'm glad we decided to do it not right after. And then talk to Jay about it because I'm like, what is this? Like, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. So anyway. The Catherine's parents are like real Southern Baptists, like, you know, all God saves, you know, Baptists, very Baptist. And she thinks that she can help Angela talk to her mother, who has passed, right? Obviously died when she was born. And she said, well, you know, what we'll do, she has like this shiny little like necklace. It looks like a little, like almost like a pendulum, right? And she's like, what we'll do is, you know, we'll focus on this. And then when the voices start talking, we just say what we hear and we'll know if it's your mom. Okay. So this is what they do. Now, I could have just been happy with a Ouija board, but whatever. They ended up crawling down into this space in the middle of the woods that was like this caved in little area. And it's like this kind of like hidden from everything. And you're going, this is really random. Like, what the hell is this? Like, I don't know. It was just very strange to me. Well, from what I gather, it was Pazuzu was, that was his invitation to enter into these girls' lives. So, cut to the father. He's doing photography. You know, he has a photo, like, you know, families come in and take pictures. And he looks at it and he's like, where the hell's my kid? Like, why isn't she home? So he finally starts looking for her and they can't find him. And they are going all around. I'm like hearing a dog somewhere, I think, or Pazuzu. I don't know. Anyway, so they start looking for the kids. They can't find them. This is where I felt like they spent too much time with this part. They were gone for 3 days and they probably spent about 15 to 20 minutes of the movie on this. And I thought, too long. But that was just me. You know, we're writers. This is how we think, right? Mm-hmm. So they finally, the kids are found, the girls are found, and they seem in shock, okay? And their feet are all blistered because they don't have shoes, and they just look, you know, something happened to them, but we don't know what. It doesn't take long. The infestation part goes real fast. For the demon to start showing itself, which is fine. I would have liked a lot more of that part because it was really creepy. The creep factor was high. And let me tell you something, the acting between Angela and her father had me in my feelings the whole time. I mean, I was feeling his anxiety for her. I was feeling the sadness of seeing, and I never feel this way. I was feeling the sadness of seeing her, you know, her cuts and scratches and scrapes, and they had to do a rape kit on her. And, you know, she's 13 years old. She was just kind of like, you know, really uncomfortable, and her dad was holding her hand. And I mean, I was feeling that, like, I wanted, it almost brought me to tears. I felt so sad and really bad for her. And so they were so good. The two of them carried that movie. I don't know where they found the other actors, but I was like, these two made this movie. So anyway, so not that everybody was horrible, don't get me wrong, but they really, they brought me to this movie. So things just start getting crazy and you're going, what the fuck is going on? So pretty quickly she ends up back in the hospital. And of course, immediately they're talking about, you know, institutionalization, because she's just screaming and saying profanities, and the demon's obviously, you know, in her, but they don't really understand what's going on, you know. So we're like, okay, what's happening? I mean, we know what's happening, but, you know, the father's like, you know, I can't believe this is happening to my kid. Well, his neighbor happens to be the nurse in the hospital that the daughter is taken to, and she notices something's not right about the girl too. Like, this isn't, there's something more going on here than medical. So she had read the book that Reagan's mother had written from the original. Okay. And so she turns the father onto this. And now I'm going to tell you, there's all kinds of stuff going on. I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, because I want you to get the scares. I want you to enjoy the thrills of the things that happen, because you're like, what the fuck? You know, there's some good scary stuff. So, pardon me, he tracks her down. And of course, everybody who knows anything about this franchise, we all know Reagan, who is Belinda Blair, right?
Yeah.
Has sworn she will never come back to this franchise. But we see her photos everywhere in the mother's house. Okay. So I'm like, okay, I guess she gave him permission. Or they, maybe she didn't have to because they owned that. Right. I don't know. So the mom comes and she goes to meet the daughter, who is full blown demon at this point. And it's just like, you're just like, oh my God, she looks scary AF, man. Like, so fucking scary. You're like, wow, this kid. And she's so good at it. Like, she's so good at the way she does stuff. I mean, I'm like, how do they sit and how did they act with her? Like, she was giving me the chills. And I'm hard to scare. So I was like, okay, she was really good. So she goes, she's like, take me to Catherine's family. Where's the other girl? And the father's like, they took her home. And she's like, oh, we need to go over there like now. So girl, they get to this house, right? This is a family, parent, mother, father, two other kids, and then the little girl who got possessed. And nobody, this big old house, nobody's answering the door. They open the door, it's open. I mean, they walk in, it is trashed. And you're like, oh shit. This demon has been doing something. Father's in one room, like rocking himself, you know. Girl, you finally find the mother with the other two kids, and they're huddled up in the kitchen together, like scared, don't know what to do. Well, old girl, you know, she's like in their fucking 80s now, right? You know, Reagan's mama goes up, waddles her little ass up the stairs, and she finds the demon. And of course, you know, he's taunting her and talking all the shit about, you know, Reagan's dead and in hell and burning and all this stuff. And next thing you know, she's trying to say the rite of exorcism at this thing. It gets a freaking cross and it goes after her. I don't want to say what happens, but when you see what happens, you're like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. She's been in this movie 5 minutes and this is already happening. So she goes into the hospital. So the father decides, okay, we have to get together and figure out how to make this, how to do this, right? So he finds a root worker, because one of his neighbors is into the church that does root work. And so then the other neighbor who's a nurse is a Catholic, and she was actually going to become a nun, but then she ended up not becoming a nun. So she goes to the Catholic church, and they're of course pleading with the diocese to let them give this child, these children, exorcism. And then of course the Southern Baptist people, girl, they all converge. And then at the last minute, of course, the Catholic priest was not allowed to do it. And I didn't care for his, maybe he did it on purpose, but his character, I did not like. It was like, I don't know. I didn't care for the character. Like he, but I think maybe that was the intention. Like he didn't seem like he had true, strong conviction. So maybe that was intentional with the actor's part. Anyway, so the exorcism starts and it is like, I mean, you can feel it, right? Like you feel the electricity of what's about to happen. You're like, this is going to be insane. And it is. And some great stuff happens during the exorcism, some stuff we've never seen, especially because we have the root worker and she's got her bath waters. Because, you know, that there's a lot of like salt baths and sour baths and things you do with root work. I don't know how much you know about that, but the concept is you're working within. It's called root work because you're working with the earth, right?
Right.
And you're pulling that energy, you know, you're kind of like that flow, right? Mm-hmm. And so she has these candles and the smoke and this, I mean, it's just really cool. You see some cool stuff. But then you're told by the demon, Pazuzu. Now, this is the thing, I wasn't sure if it was two separate demons or a Pazuzu with both girls. That was the thing I wasn't too sure about.
Yeah.
I have to see it again. When you get back, we're going again, because I have to see it again.
That reminds me of like the Pope's Exorcist. I know you said you saw that. Well, yeah. I only recently saw it after The Nun, which was a mistake because The Nun 2 was superior.
Was far too good. Yeah.
Yeah. But when I went back and saw the Pope's Exorcist, because it's on Netflix, I wondered the same thing. Is this all the same spirit that is inhabiting all of them, or is it different ones?
Yeah. And I wonder if they're doing that, because I'm seeing that in a lot of the films now. Because right. I even felt that way about The Nun.
Right, exactly. I was asking that, yeah.
So these girls are being exorcised.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The priest comes in. His ass ain't even in there 5 seconds, and they kill his ass. I'm just going to say that because I didn't care for that character. Spoiler alert. I said that.
You remember I said that the same thing about The Nun, too. It's like they keep showing that these priests aren't as powerful, apparently, as...
Well, it's about what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I don't think that this priest didn't believe in God. I think it was the structure of the church that he didn't believe in. If that makes sense. And he was angry and disappointed that they weren't going to support him with their decision. He went in there on his own. He didn't go in there with their blessing. So, and then he was like, but it's really good. I'll let y'all know. Right. I won't tell you how. It's good how they do it. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of all this, and I mean, these girls are going through it. Pazuzu says to these girls, you have to choose which one of us lives and which one of us dies.
Mm-hmm.
And both the mother and the, you know, the single, huh?
I saw that in the trailer. I was like, ooh, that's going to be good.
Yeah. And there's some twist in there I'm not going to reveal.
Okay.
But the father and the mother. Now, the father of the white girl, Catherine, he was a big fucking puss. I'm like, someone please find his balls, because he is irritating me. He was always like rocking himself somewhere. I'm like, dude. Irritating me. So whatever. So I didn't even really consider him even there. But the mother and the father of Angela looked at each other and they're like, we're not gonna choose. We're not gonna do that to either of our children. Like, I won't do that to his child. And he's like, I won't do that to her child. Right. So I won't say what happens, but one of the girls doesn't make it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Obviously, we're at a point with this demon that it always takes someone in the end. It took the priest, right? So, you know, in the first one. And so it's always, it wants to sacrifice this thing. So I won't say who, but yeah. And then at the very, very end, there's a surprise. Mm-hmm. And I will say that I'm sure it's all over the internet. Try not to read it. If you want to see this movie, don't read anything about it on the internet, because you will get, it'll spoil it.
Yeah, I won't.
Yeah. Try not to look at it. If you see Exorcist the Believer, if you're going to go see it, turn it off. Otherwise, look at it. Get all the spoilers you want. But yeah, I was like, wow, this is, I was shocked.
Yeah, I don't like spoilers because I want to try to figure out stuff on my own. And whatever I can't figure out, I want to be surprised. I want it to be unpredictable. What's your rating?
You know, I mean... In different ways, I felt like it was an 8, and in some ways I felt like it was a 6. So, you know, I guess I have to bring it to like a 7 overall.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a solid 7.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's definitely parts of it that I'm like, oh, like especially the infestation part. When we're seeing the demon coaxing and like the horror part of it, right, where it's breaking them down and making them, you know, more susceptible to what's coming. That's the part that I missed, but they did that. I believe they did it that way because the father was a bit of an atheist and he wasn't a believer. And so I think they did it that way to give us more of his perspective because he was a non-believer. He didn't believe in none of it. But there was definitely, you know, when they finally got to the action, it was very good, you know? Okay. So I don't know. Yeah, I would say I'm going to have to lean to a high 7. Okay. Yeah.
You know, we've been watching a lot of horror lately. We haven't done anything on the sex front of the podcast.
I just finished Sex Education season 4.
Oh. I got that queued up. I even downloaded the whole season to watch and then ended up watching other stuff on the plane, but that's I'm planning to watch that. Maybe we can do that next time.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we can do sex education. Have you, I think when we were in a hotel for one of the events, was it Houston Horror Film Festival? I pulled up Fatal Seduction or something. You remember that show?
Yes, no, that was Texas AuthorCon with the singers.
Oh, so that's all the way back in June?
Yeah.
Or July? I don't know. but... okay, I need to go back and finish that too.
Yeah,
because that was a very erotic. So maybe we can.
I try to find some stuff too.
Yeah, we can pivot and review two more sex-oriented shows or erotic elements.
Yeah,
girl, I'm fumbling all over my well, earth. I would say that I would go ahead and watch Sex Education now while I'm in this hotel room. But I know as soon as I put it on, I'm going to sleep. It's going to watch.
You're going to be it.
Yeah, it's going to be watching me. But we did it.
We did it. Two different time zones and technically in two different days.
Well, let me see. I think, well, it's still Wednesday, October 4th here. It's just at 11.
Okay.
I'm 7 hours ahead of you.
Okay.
So I told you wrong before when I said we'd be in different days. When I left, I left on yesterday, and I got here today.
That makes sense because the time was going. It's kind of strange, I'm sure.
It was very strange because I looked at my phone as it was landing this morning in Paris, and it was at 1:37. And by the time we touched, by the time we touched the wheels down, it was 8:37. you know, because I think they're like 6 hours ahead and then seven here. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So crazy.
Oh, well, that is seven. Maybe this is seven over there too in Paris. But anywho, so it was weird to lose 7 hours just like that. So, yeah. You know, it was light when I got on the plane. And it was light when I got off. So I remember it being dark somewhere and they cut out the lights and everything. And I was just movie watching. I was just catching up on those four movies I had not seen. And then somewhere around the last hour, I saw somebody open the window. I was like, oh, dang, it's light outside. Like the sun is shining. So
that's crazy.
I completely missed nighttime. I missed bedtime.
I'm going to message you and be like, take pictures.
Yeah, I need to get on it. Tomorrow I need to get on it. It's going to be in the 50s tonight and then the 70s. I could do 70s. I could do 70s during the day.
Jealous.
So I'm
jealous.
Yeah, it was like 95 degrees when I left. And when I got here, it was 75.
Did they do Halloween over there? Are they like celebrating it at all?
I did see a Halloween as an event. Not event, but I saw some Halloween things, events to go to, you know, as things to do. So they must do. I don't know. List though. I don't want commercials.
Well, if you see anything that they have out, just take pictures because I'm curious to see the difference.
Oh, okay. I will.
Yeah.
Maybe. No, I will. I want the actual haunting of this, because this is an old place. We don't have old like we do here in America. Yeah. Like everything is fairly old.
Yeah, you're in that area of the world where it's like this is where we started.
Right. So I would like I want to know some haunting and some cursed and stuff like that. I want to know what really the deal is. Now this hotel on the outside looks old. But they must have remodeled everything because everything in here looks brand new. So I won't say what hotel I'm at, you know, just because that we're gonna put this live. Yeah, we're gonna put this on. But yeah, the hotel on the inside looks completely. Everything is fresh. Everything's new.
Well, that's kind of nice, though.
Yeah, I love that. But this is why I picked this particular hotel too. It's not. You know, I'm kind of like mid-range. I'm not at it's not a hostel, but it's not one of those $24,000 a night luxury hotels either. Although I was, when I was looking online, I was like, man, that would be so nice.
Like, for that kind of money, I better be asleep with somebody rubbing my feet at night. Shit. I better wake up, somebody rubbing my temples.
What kind of money would I have to make to, like, not even sneeze at $24,000 a night?
I know. What are you talking about? When I almost got that dentist work from that other dentist, $15,000 for what I got done. I went and got it done for $3,000. I'm like, yeah. I don't know what kind of pay, like, why would I pay a school, like an entire, you know, education on a couple of extractions and a freaking bridge. Are you crazy?
You know, a lot of people are going overseas to get work done too, from what I've heard. I'm not
that kind of makes sense
done here, but yeah, they get their nose jobs from Turkey and they get boobs and BBLs and all that. I'm not getting anything done because I'm just here.
You don't need nothing done. You'd be looking good all the way you are.
To experience it. Thank you, hon. But, you know, we always see our flaws.
I know, right?
No, thank you, hon. Full stop. I said, but. Need to stop that. But it's, on the outside, now, I did, me and the taxi driver, we had an issue coming in because it looked a little different than I thought it was going to look on the outside. I just wanted to make sure that, because the name of the hotel wasn't even out there, so it was like, you know, are you sure this is the right hotel? This isn't. I went and pulled it out, and he said I was difficult. He said I was being difficult. And I thought about that later, and I was like, you know what? Good. I'm okay with being difficult if making sure I'm in the right spot is being difficult. Yeah,
because you don't need to be let off somewhere and be like, where the fuck am I at? Yeah.
And then he was going all into, you know, I'm a professional. I'm a, you know, this is what I do. I'm a professional driver. I'm a taxi driver. And, you know, bartenders, you know, you go to them for their expertise. You come to us for our expertise. Listen, nobody is questioning whether you know how to get to where you're supposed to go. I wanted to make sure we had a meeting of the minds. Like, this is the place that I needed you to take me to. And you brought me to that place. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't think he knew where he was supposed to be going and all that. I'm pretty sure if he had the place, he'd get me to the right place. But I didn't know I gave him the right information, you know?
I'm just saying the machismo is for real on the other side of that pond. So yeah, be careful. Yeah.
So I insulted his manhood by questioning whether he took me to the wrong place, whether he took me to the right place. Boy, bye.
And let me tell you, this is the difference. Okay, ladies, pay attention to this. Because instead of saying, sir, do you think you brought me to the right place? You'd be like, oh my goodness, this is so amazing. I don't know where I am. What's this place called again? You know, it all is in the delivery. The stupider they think you are, the more they think they can be like, oh, let me help you, young lady.
Girl, I ain't got time for that. I don't even, because that takes too much thinking on my part. Like, I got to think through how, you know, is this the right hotel or not? That's all I need to know. Is it the one that's on this paper right here that I showed
you? Let me tell you, those men over there are not used to no bossy woman.
Girl, look, you know, it's all right though. Because if that means...
I'm going to get used to it.
Yeah, because that's really not... I feel like maybe there were some things lost in the culture there too. Maybe he thought, you know, I'm insulting him or whatever, which is not what I'm doing. Look, when you let me out, I just want to know that I'm at the right place. I've never been here before. I'm out of the country. I don't know anybody here. I don't want to be at the wrong place because I didn't give you correct information.
Yeah.
You
know? Like, it is surprising though, because Italian people have never really been the ones traditionally that I've heard that are rude to Americans. French, yes, but not the Italians. They love Americans. So yeah. I find that interesting.
That's the experience that I had, but it's everything else has been great so far. That my whole transportation situation just went awry anyway, because I kept getting it. I went back and forth for like 5 days to get my transportation pre-arranged here, and then when I got here, that wasn't done properly, even though I was going back and forth with somebody to get that done. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of a cure for something that it was a remedy for something that was supposed to had already been done by getting this taxi. But you know, My error in this, though, I will say, is that I need to be, that, you know, when we were talking about trust, like, I'm very distrusting of people, and I need to just kind of go with the flow, because just not be so, you know, like, are you deliberately trying to lead me somewhere wrong, or, you know, because there's so much study and research that I've done, you know, I'm, and I don't want to get conned and scammed and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm over here for the experience, and mostly everything goes smoothly when you go somewhere. You know, it's just that one or two times if you're caught slipping, that something might happen. I don't need to be like with my guard up 24/7, like, oh, this person's trying to get me, or, you know what I mean? So that's what I should work on. Yeah.
Well, I think you'll be all right. I think it'll be a good time. Hopefully 2 weeks ain't going to be too long. We'll see. I know I'm going to miss you.
Hey, I'm right here. Like, it's not even like, it's like I've never left. But here we are still recording. Miss me? Miss me what? Here
true. I am. Well, we missed you last night. We saw Julio and everybody who's been to the Houston Horror Film Fest. I saw Tony, one of the creators, without a freaking hat on. And I thought, the world was going to come to an end. I was like, who is this? Who is this human with no hat on his head?
Did you get a picture of that? I'd like to see that.
I should have. I was like, I looked at him and I'm like, what? Where's your hat? No, I'm going to buy one and stick it on your head right now.
What did he say? What was he? He was just doing something
different. He was just laughing. Nah, he was just laughing. You know how Tony is. He was there. He was enjoying himself. It was a really good show, and everybody pretty much was good. They're well behaved there. You know, a lot of the people that go to these shows like that are from the Houston Horror Film Fest. So I will say that there was a certain film festival. I'm sorry, not film festival. HorrorCon that happened this past weekend here in Houston that got really bad reviews from the attendees. Very rude, very no volunteers, so very unorganized. I don't think we'll see them through Houston again. But Art the Clown was there, so I hope he did have some folks come through and visit with him, and, you know, all that sort of thing. I hope the celebrities enjoyed themselves, but we'll talk more about that when we're not on the air. Off that's cheese man.
Yeah, off camera. Oh man, that's amazing, because we just not signed up for that one.
We missed the bullet. Which But anyway, I shall not talk about these things.
Yeah, we'll talk. I like your artwork behind you, hon.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this one, the green one you see here is my sister, and those are me, and then that's something I purchased. A little wolf skeleton there. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, we need to say bye so you can go get some sleep and enjoy your trip.
All right. I'll see how far I can get with sex education before I fall asleep.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, you probably get through maybe one episode. You know, they're long, those episodes.
So. Yeah, they are. Well, there's only 8, right?
Yeah. This one is a doozy. I'm still processing it.
Oh my God, that means somebody died.
No, nothing like that. No deaths, nothing like that.
Okay, because I can't take that right now. Like, for real, cannot take it.
They wrap it up really well. It's actually a great season, but stuff happens. And then we really get into the all-inclusiveness of life that we have right now. Okay. I was like, what is happening here?
Okay,
so, sure. Yeah.
All right, well, I look forward to it then. But I'm not watching anything that's got to do with anybody dying right now.
Nothing like that. Nothing like that.
I don't mean like in like real life scenarios. I can do it in horror all day long.
Yeah. Got it.
All right. Thank you all for listening and watching.
Thanks, guys.